You are listening to The After Chat with me, Pollyanna. 18 and older, please proceed and enjoy. Under 18, listen no further. Greetings, loves. Glad to be with you, as always, back again on this Thursday for another episode of The After Chat, the show where your questions get answered, and also you share your experiences with me, and then I get to share them with others, and they're so wonderful and so relatable to so many. So thank you for that. Thank you for being so generous with that always. So if you have something, a question you want to ask, an experience you want to share, an insight you have that you think others might gain from, anything on your mind, please feel free to reach out to me. You can email me at my email with pollyanna@gmail.com. That's Pollyanna spelled P-O-L-Y-A-N-N-A. Again, that's with pollyanna@gmail.com. Now in the show description, I'll be sure and leave first and foremost a link to my website. That's sexplorationwithpo.wixsite.com/website. And there on the homepage, there's actually a link that if you click it, you can just click the link and email me there. If you navigate using the top right corner of the website, you can find another page on my website called Where to Listen. That's a great way if you want to share my show with friends that you can just send them that link, and it has links to all of the platforms where my podcast can be heard. So that's a really great, easy way to share the show with somebody that you think may enjoy it as well. A lot to cover today, so let's get right into it. Now, if you listened in on Tuesday to Sexploration with Pollyanna, that's my Tuesday podcast episode that comes out every week. We covered the vagina, so vaginal health, yay, vagina, vaginal health, and also the erogenous zones, six of them. We remembered by using the little shortcut oak pug. So that's the O spot, the A spot, the K spot, the P spot, the U spot, and the G spot. I'm sure that some of those might be new to a lot of you. I know some of them were new to me. I'd heard of a handful of them, and then you've heard of the rest of them recently. So I'll also, just like I shared in the description of that show, links to some really great pages that cover those different erogenous zones for women. I'll share those links in this podcast episode details as well for you to read and enjoy. So based on that episode, someone reached out to me and let me know about jade egg. So one of my listeners was also interested in using the jade egg. So we talked about Kegels, and that's kind of an ancient method of working on Kegels. So way, way back a long time ago, and then still to this day, it's a practice. What women would do is they'd take a piece of jade that was shaped into an egg. And they tie a string to one side of it, insert it in the vagina, and then, you know, work on their Kegels. And there's even a blogger who I left a link. I'll leave her link again on this episode, but I left it in the other episode, who went viral for her hashtag, things I lift with my vagina. So on the other end of the string of the jade egg, after she inserted it, she ties it to a variety of objects, then clenches her vaginal muscles and lifts all these interesting things. So one of my listeners heard that and was interested in it at one point and asked her gynecologist and shared this really good information that the jade eggs itself are actually probably not the safest idea health-wise to actually use, a jade egg. And that's because there can be imperfections in the egg, like cracks in it, and then bacteria can grow. And so, of course, you don't want to insert that into your shazaze, into your vagine, if it's going to cause issues like that, like bacterial vaginosis. You just don't want to take that kind of risk with your health. So I thought it was a really great point to bring up. So there are other options out there. So if you go to your favorite sex toy website, maybe even on Amazon, certainly at your local sex shop, you should be able to get these toys and tools that are made out of silicone, sometimes glass, just safer materials that aren't going to have those imperfections where you could have, you know, bacteria growing. Yuck, gross, right? You want to make sure that you always keep your sex toys and your sex accessories clean, sanitary, and safe. What I actually have for my sex toys is I think it's a Shibari brand. I can't remember. It's one of the toy brands that I have. It's a spray. It smells really good. I don't ever have any irritation issues, so it's okay for sensitive skin. And it's a spray, so it's like an antibacterial spray. that I use on all my toys before and after. And then I wash them too, according to the directions, but usually I think it's in hot water. So it's really important that we wash before and afterwards when we play with toys, and certainly when we're using any extra devices to help us with our Kegels. So thank you so much for sharing that. I think that's a really, really excellent point to bring up, a wonderful insight that I just had to be sure and include today. So I am going to go on to Instagram here, or I have a little bit better of an organization method now, so I think I've got this all under control so I don't have to struggle to find all all the things I include. So let's get to it. So I got feedback from a listener who said, I've just started listening to your podcast. So this is Emily. I just started listening to your podcast and am exploring whether I'm polyamorous. I am a female and relate to your story. Looking forward to more of your podcasts. And I said, thank you so much for listening and reaching out. Please feel free to ask any questions you have along the way and send whatever requests for what you want to hear about, more about as you learn and consider. So I just think that was really important to share because I actually get messages like this all the time. And it so touches my heart. There's so many people out there considering. So for those of you with maybe more experience under your belt, if you listen to a show and you might have an insight for somebody that's just starting out, please do share those. Because I know you've been there, done that. But a lot of people that listen in haven't. And so they can really gain, not just from my experience. I mean, my experience is limited to me, right? I'm an expert in my own experience and you are an expert in yours. So anything that ever comes to mind for my listeners that are more, and some of you that are more maybe experienced, some great insights that you usually share, please, whenever they come to mind, share them with me. And then we'll include them here in the after chat or maybe in sexploration if whatever it fits into. Because there's a lot of people out there that tune in that are just starting to consider, and they really, really would gain from anything, any insights and advice that's from somebody that's been there, you know, that has walked the walk before, you know. They need you to talk the talk for them too. I know that's kind of a perversion of that saying, but but yeah, so let's work together and be good leaders and guides, and let's not miss out on opportunities. I think it's important to mention, I've noticed I'm on a lot of poly pages, and that's kind of the best way I've noticed that the poly community is connected, is in these just kind of social media pages, not necessarily through as many as it is in the lifestyle, social groups and meeting and resorts and things like that. And maybe they'll kind of jump onto the lifestyle scene just so that they can meet more people. But I've noticed whenever a newbie posts, like a newer person or maybe somebody with a question just starting out, sometimes in these groups, there can be people that just jump down their throats and they're negative and nasty and judgmental and maybe have an expectation of that they would have for somebody with more experience that knows maybe the cultural and social norms, and applies those expectations to somebody who's just starting out. And it really just absolutely infuriates me when I see that. Sometimes I'll jump on and say something when I do see that, because this is an opportunity, right? If somebody's maybe kind of expressing what they're seeking out in not the best worded way, or maybe they're asking a question, right? That's what most of these posters are asking, a question they're trying to find out. So these are opportunities, right? For those of us with more experience under our belt, for those of us who maybe know a little bit more, these are opportunities for us. These are opportunities for all of us to share, to guide compassionately and generously. And when we don't do that, we are failing the community itself. We're failing ourselves, making it. We're just absolutely, absolutely dropping the ball. If you are on these sort of forums and you have more experience and you have more of a knowledge base, then it is your responsibility to educate, to guide, absolutely. And if you think it's not, then you are doing yourself a disservice. You are doing yourself a disservice because you were part of this community and you were responsible for being a nurturing person to those who are coming in. We were all new once, right? So I'm gonna step off the soapbox for a minute, but it really makes me mad when I see that. Because it's not right. So if you are newer and starting out too, and you're jumping on these groups, I apologize. There are, and they're not all trolls. They're just people that are maybe a little bit better sexual, judgmental, and they're just not being fair and they're not being nurturing to you. So if you hear those sort of comments, if you jump in and you have questions, please don't let that deter you. just in one ear, out the other, because they're just a little bit more vocal. They are on these groups, unfortunately. Some groups are better at policing this than others, but a lot of them aren't. Some of the moderators, too, even say things that are borderline. You know, I wouldn't necessarily consider a good thing to say to a general group. I'm a little judgy. So some groups are better than others. If you want to be a part of any of these groups, and even if you just search them on your own, you should be able to find them for poly on Facebook is where I'm finding most of them. But just keep in mind that you might get some comments here and there from people that are just not presenting their poly opinion in a way that represents the whole community and is not necessarily always nice. So it is out there. It's not... I don't want to say it's uncommon, because it's more common than I'd like it to see, and I think it's a damn shame. Shame on those people, fuck them, if you will. and if you ever have that an experience like that on like what I'm talking about on one of these groups and want to bring it up with me, please do. That's welcome. I'm here for you. Okay, let's see here. I've got another one this is from Instagram as well. A lot from Instagram today. I seem to be getting a lot of questions there lately, which is great. So this is from Roger, and Roger says, thank you for connecting. My partner and I are new to the poly lifestyle. We are so interested to learn from your experiences. And I said, that's awesome. And he says, I've been listening to your show. I love the laugh. Don't lose that. This world needs more. Thank you so much. So again, I encouraged him to share as he's inspired. Because that's the best part of this entire journey. It really is. Like I said before, we're building bridges. We're exchanging ideas, and we're learning and growing together. I'm the expert in my experience. You're the expert in yours. And when we bring that diversity of expert experiences, everyone wins. Okay. So next we're going to go to a question. I have on my Instagram page, I have a bunch of highlights, and one of them is the after chat. And within that highlight, there is like a story post that I did from a while ago that's still there. So you can actually go there and look at the highlight for the after chat. And one of the things on that highlight is this one part that says ask a question. So if you wanted to ask a question that way, that's a really great way. And it actually makes it a lot easier for me to organize too. So that's where this question came from, is he went on my highlight and he asked a question there where it was prompted. So this is George. Have you ever been in a poly relationship? Or no, sorry, that's another. Ah, sorry. I'll get to that question in a second. Maybe I'm not as organized as I thought. Jeez. So from that, Max asked, what is the most memorable experience you had in the lifestyle? Oh, God. This question made me so nervous because it's so hard to answer. This is the hardest question I have ever been asked, hands down, because I have so many good experiences. I have such a good problem to have here. How can I choose between all of these like amazing experiences? It seems like every time I have a lifestyle experience, it's amazing because a big part of the reason for that is because I'm true to myself, because I stick to my boundaries. You know, all of the bad experiences that I've had, and I have, there's good and bad. Every single one of them was because I didn't do it right by me, following my rules and boundaries, doing it right my way, which is me being, it's me being slow to play. That might not be right for you, but for me, it's being slow to play. It's building and nourishing and nurturing friendships first, being good going into it with full knowledge, awareness, and being good coming out of it. It makes for a better intimate experience for me every time. So now that I do that, and I do that every time, it seems like every time I have a lifestyle experience, it's my favorite experience. Like, it's just all good. But I can't just say that, right, and not pick one, because I have to share a story. You know, that's what that's kind of prompting, is you want a story, right? I have so many good stories. So let's just pick one. So I'm just picking one. There are so many other ones that are at this level. But it's one of my first ones that went really well. So maybe that's why it's a good choice. So my first lifestyle event was Dirty Vegas. It's a plush party. Plush parties are all over the place throughout the year. And that's like a classic one. That was a good one to get started. I met so many people. And I have several stories that are at the same level from that same event, but I'll just choose kind of the last one of that event. So it was Sunday. It was after Dirty Vegas had kind of concluded, and we went to we met with a group of people who were at a pool party at, gosh, I can't remember what it's called, but it's a topless pool. Oh, shoot. Anyways, it's in Vegas, obviously. And it's you can just take your top off when you go to this pool. So there's women with boobs everywhere, and I love that, right? And it's kind of got guarded and shaded. It's like, so people can't look in, right? And I've been to other events that were non-topless there that were really excellent. Like I went to, I love Ziggy Marley. Went to a Ziggy Marley concert there, wine tasting once, which was excellent night. But this was before that. So a bunch of beautiful couples. I was dating a guy at the time. And so I was there with him. And there was this woman there who walked up to me. Now, I had met her a few days before at the pool, at the plush party, and she and I just had met very briefly, and we had danced together for hours. She's gorgeous. She's petite like me, brunette. She just had a really good energy and vibe, and from her and I dancing, actually, like this long conga line, like following her and following me, like we were the center of it. It was the coolest thing, where people were just like dancing, like all up against each other. So like we had started like without even trying, just her and I like just digging each other and dancing all sexily at Blush, had like started this long sexy conga line of people. It was so cool. But then I didn't see her after that. We just kind of, you know, you get lost in a party and you lose track. But she was there at this pool party. She walked straight up to me. And she and I just had such an instant vibe from those couple of days before. And we did immediately again. And we just were just, I don't know, digging each other and being flirty, playing with each other's hair, having a few drinks. And then she and her boyfriend and my boyfriend and I all went into the pool. And again, she and I were just so focused on each other. That was my first kind of experience with that, where another woman had just, I don't know, just been entranced by me and me by her. And in that way, and just kind of like immediately, it was really cool. And actually, no, I'm totally missing. So I had met her before Plush had even started. We were walking through the lobby the first day we got there before the event started. And we happened to be walking by. And I said to my boyfriend, because I noticed her kind of looking over at me and me at her from like across the lobby at this other hotel. And I was like, do you know them? Like, because they're kind of looking at us, like little newbie me. Like, I wanted to go talk to them. That was kind of my way of saying, can we go talk to them? And so we walk over and introduce ourselves and I'll meet for the first time. And I was super intimidated because she's gorgeous. But at that time, I, of course, thought to myself, oh, there's no way. There's no way she's interested in me. Like, she's stunning. She's a model. Like, there's no way. And so now fast forward back to Sunday. So we're in the pool and we're just kind of dancing to the music. Our tops are off and it just kind of naturally happened. We just kind of melted into like kissing and it was so hot and passionate and I just was so feeling it and she so was too. And so we kind of draw back for a second and I can't remember if it was her or if it was me that asked, do you want to get out of here? It was so, I know it's cheesy to say, but that was kind of like my first experience with that, where like, I don't know, everything just kind of fell together and it felt like a movie. Like, it was just so cool. And so we went back to their hotel room and her boyfriend is an extremely talented photographer. So it was kind of, I mean, the guys participated too, but it was, for the most part, that experience was mostly about me and her connecting. And it was so beautiful. And it wasn't like, you know, this fast, intense, fiery passion. It was very sensual. It was very real and natural and authentic. And her boyfriend took some, with his professional camera, some snapshots, nothing, just of her and I, like, not even like within the act, just kind of like looking at each other, kissing. And we weren't even posing for it. It just kind of, as we were just kind of starting out. And he sent me the pictures later and they were some of the most beautiful moments that he captured so beautifully on these excellent shots. So that was probably one of my favorite first lifestyle, one of my favorite first. And so that's as incredible as that was. You know, I've had so many at that same level. I feel very hashtag blessed. I feel very lucky. But, you know, I wanted to pick one of them and share that with you. So hopefully that, it was just incredible for me. So hopefully I conveyed the amazingness of that experience It was like a dream because she's so like naturally romantically beautiful, and it just kind of melted together. So like it just kind of flowed and melted together so tranquilly and naturally. I mean, I love the heavy, passionate romps too. Like, and I have lots of those too. Like, I like that kind of intimacy, but it was just so feminine and authentic and natural. So that was probably hopefully a good one to share with you today. Let me know what you think. Thank you for asking. Like the hardest question ever though. Like I literally, before I recorded that, that's what I sat down and I thought about the most. I'm like, how am I going to pick? Like, what do I pick? There's so many and they're all so amazing. But I didn't want to let you down. I had to pick one. So hopefully that was good for as good for you as it was for me. All right. So back to Instagram. George asks, have you ever been in a poly relationship with children involved? Oh gosh, this is such a hard one to answer. Because it's so personal. I mean, it's not hard to answer. I mean, I have the answer for you. Yes, I have, in a limited way. And it was difficult and challenging. Now, for a variety of reasons, I have kids. I've shared with that in the past. I'm protective of my children and I have very strict rules. Like, most of my friends actually haven't met my kids. And it's not like I keep my friends from my kids, but in order to be involved in my kids' lives, especially if it's somebody that I'm dating, it's something that I'm very strict about in terms of I don't want anyone coming into that world, and that's my personal preference. So I have to be in it's not just dating for 6 months. We have to be like committed dating for 6 months before you even meet my kids. I realize that's a pretty long time, right? But I really really want to be sure before I introduce anyone in to their lives, even just as a friend of mine, then it really takes a long time for people to cross that threshold. And most people that I've dated after my divorce, like none of them pretty much, very, very, I can count on one hand, who's met my kids. So it's something that I have a very strict boundary about. And also for me as a poly person, it's a little bit different too, because I don't have a preference of nesting with my partners. That's not something that I prefer. And so it doesn't really, come into play as much for me as it does other poly people. A lot of psychologists that are very anti-polyamory, one of the common arguments that they'll use, and I think it's so irresponsible to and so misinformed to use this, is that polyamory is bad for kids. It's you know, it gives them abandonment issues because people come in and out of their lives. Well, isn't that true for any parent, whether monogamous or poly, that you know, dates people and introduces them to their kids? Isn't that true for them as well? Absolutely. And that's probably a big part of the reason why I have that waiting time. Now, you're the parent of your kids if you have kids and you're considering poly. So you know the right answer to that question. I guess it could also depend on the age of your kids. It could depend on a lot of things, right? Gosh. So it just really depends on you have to ask those questions for yourself. Maybe asking a marriage counselor and finding out that way what's right best for you. So for me, the comfort zone is 6 months in a waiting period. But I've run into issues with this in the past. I dated a couple who were going to have me move in with them. And I had met my kids and I had met their kids. But they were not open with their kids about being in the lifestyle and about being polyamorous. Their kids had no idea. And I was, you know, staying with them for weeks at a time. And I was very concerned because their kids were asking fair questions. They were of the age where they could see things, you know, they knew what was going on, and they just would not be honest with their kids about who I was. And yet they wanted me to move in without having that conversation. I felt very uncomfortable with this, and I brought it up a lot. Now, to me, this is my personal opinion. I'm not their kid's parent. It's not up to me to have those honest, frank conversations with their kids. But it was really, really something that concerned me. And ultimately, I'm glad that relationship broke up for other reasons. But I'm glad that I didn't move in with them. And certainly that was a caveat of it, is if I'm moving in with you, your kids need to know who I am, because it's not fair to them, right? At least that was the boundary that I set. You may agree with me or disagree with me there. But you know, it's a hard question to answer. You just always have to be sure that you are having age-appropriate conversations with your kids. It can be done in healthy ways. There's a lot of healthy, happy poly pods whose kids are part of each other's lives. It's almost like it's beautiful because it's almost like it's a community of people raising your children. And anyone that you date, whether you're poly or monogamous, you want to make sure, like one of the things, even when I was monogamously dating, is if I was considering somebody serious after I'd become a mom, was that, you know, is this somebody that deserves to be in my kids' lives? And if not, then they probably shouldn't meet your kids, whether you're dating them or not. Maybe they're a casual connection in poly, but you still don't necessarily want them to be an active part of your kid's life. And that's a judgment you make as a parent. You have to make that judgment. And you can differentiate and draw lines in that way. And you should. You should make sure that everyone in your kids' lives is a healthy choice for you and for them. That was kind of a long-winded answer to that question. But I have, and it's something that I think that should always, like anything having to do with a family, should always, always manage it in a way that's healthy and protective. And that absolutely can happen with a poly relationship. There's so many examples of poly families with kids that are abundantly happy and loving. And it's such a beautiful, beautiful thing. And what a beautiful example to set for your children of, yeah, you're not necessarily kind of what's mainstream accepted norm, but you still do it in a healthy way, happy way, respectful way. And you still take that on being true to yourself. How many other ways can our kids be different? And how wonderful is it to teach them that it's okay to be different? And it's okay to be, it's even okay if it's unpopular to be different, to embrace being different. You're special and wonderful, and that begins from within you, from inspiration that begins within you. For me, that's how my polyamory absolutely is. That came from within. It's very much against my upbringing. It's not nurture for me. It's nature that I had hidden away from so long and was able to come out. And letting that out is such a beautiful thing. So giving the good example of following your life and a path in healthy ways as you are inspired by your heart, by who you are, is something we should embrace. What a great, wonderful gift of an example we can set, for sure. God, that was a long response. Hopefully that kind of touches on it. Let me know if that kind of covers what you were getting at there. So let's see. Oh, so Garrett. So this is from Garrett, also on Instagram. I had a girlfriend once with, oh, so this this is in response to, we talked about Kegels and how I have, so every woman has, there are vaginal muscles inside, you know, they become enlarged and engorged and different, depending on how you're stimulating those spots, right, throughout the sexual experience. So when it comes to internal vaginal stimulation, what happens is our vaginal muscles engorge, and then when we reach orgasm, they contract. And some of them are a little bit stronger than others. And certainly if you're doing your Kegels, they'll get stronger and stronger because you're strengthening those muscles, right? And so I'd shared that I have partners that tell me that those muscles must be really strong because they can tell when I'm about to orgasm, and it feels good to them when I do because those muscles just naturally within me contract really strongly. If I start doing Kegels, they always will, I'm sure. So Garrett shared, I had a girlfriend once with vaginal muscles so strong, when she orgasmed, she would shoot me out. And she would squeeze sometimes so hard it hurt. Damn, hashtag goals. That girl's got some strong Kegels going on. I want to know her routine. Thank you for sharing that, George. I thought that was interesting. So see, ladies, that's how our what our Kegels can lead to. We can actually shoot the penis right out. if we get that exercise game going strong, the Shazaze exercise game going strong. Okay, great. So that was most of what I had written down in advance. I have kind of a longer telling, and this is also from Instagram, that I wanted to share with you. It's from a couple. I just had it pulled up, but it kicked me off, so I'm going to have to pull it back up here. I should have done screenshots of this one, too. Oh, maybe I can't find it. Oh, darn. I know it's right. Ah, there it is. Sorry about the dead air there. I had it pulled up, ready to go and organized, and it just kind of fucked me there. Okay, not in a good way. So this is a couple, and they shared their story, and I thought it was so wonderful, so I wanted to share it with you today. So first, my wife and I are fans of you. Thank you. I just caught up to all your episodes, so we are eagerly awaiting the next one. Your podcast was recommended by a friend that has recently started to explore her sexuality. So she heard you on Bad Girls Bible Podcast. Sean, the gift that keeps on giving. Damn. Awesome. That's so great. I love that. I love building bridges. That's what collaborations are all about, is connecting more and more of us, right? It was an amazing episode, by the way. Thank you. Why did the friend recommend me to you, Polly? Well, quick intro. We are 36 and 37 and have been married for 16 years. We have 3 kiddos and have been in any type of configuration of swing and open poly relationships for the past 11 years. So we totally understand what you were dealing with. So let's see here. Then they also say, sorry, this is a long conversation. You are not just living your life the way you have determined on your own, which takes a lot of self-discovery and determination. And they would know, they've been in it for 11 years, right? But you were also going above that and being public. It's very scary to live that way. It is. I'm adopting a lot of risk for sure. And I accept that, and I'm willing to take it on. We may have been open to our relationship changing all these years, but it's all been done quietly. Both of our families are very Mormon. We love our families, but we still don't divulge who we are, really, to the point where we even hide our alcohol when they visit. I thought by the time I was out, on our own, we'd make our own rules, but we just don't want to hurt them. We spent the last few years in small towns, and that's made things more complicated. You are putting yourself out there publicly on social media and through podcasting, and it's very inspiring. My wife and I work for big corporations, and it's a great way to earn a living, but also our reputation goes a long way. It's amazing providing a great life for those we love, but it's also kept us from being public. So we really look up to you and others that choose to live their lives that way with no compromise and all the confidence in the world. Whatever we can do to help, let us know. Like I said, you're brave for deciding to be at the forefront. I know you have kids too. We spent Christmas with our family, and our kids were told by our parents in private, so away from the parents, away from their parents. So grandma and grandpa pulled the kids aside and said they should not have to follow in their own parents' ways, that it's easier to not make the same mistakes that their parents are making. Part of me was angry and hurt, but what do you do when you want your family to know your kids and you love them? I've always been the black sheep of my family, but after not seeing my family for over a decade, I decided that they should also have the decision to know where they come from. The kids should have the decision. The bravest thing we did was to bring our girlfriend home for Thanksgiving, because we didn't want to leave her alone back home. And this year we got a few questions from different family members. They asked if we were swingers. We really did try not to be blatant. We love our family immensely, and we feel that we can love others the same way. And build each other up. I guess we gave off the vibe and have contributed to our family's message to pull the kids aside. Please continue doing what you are doing and being yourself authentically. We know it's not easy. We know it's scary. So much sacrifice to be at the point where you have gotten to. We are behind you all the way, and hopefully we'll catch up one day. That really touched my heart. And actually, there's a lot from there. Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for letting me share it here. There's so much from that, what your story, that I relate to. I have shared in the past, there's actually been some members of my family that I've kind of cut ties with. Coming out as bisexual polyamorous is a social risk for sure. For career, I've been laid off of the job because it got known amongst my coworkers. So I went from being a star employee, and then I got known amongst my coworkers that I was dating a man and a woman at the same time. And then all of a sudden, there were routine layoffs, and I was the only one laid off. So I've already felt the brunt of that. And then when my family knew, I had some members of my family do that to my kids, pull them aside and tell them that it was that their mommy was going to hurt them, and it was only a matter of time. That really hurt and disturbed me, to make kids afraid of their own parents, just because of that. I mean, I I can't even justify. I always try to look at the silver lining. I always try to look to the bright side of things to understand where people are coming from, seek to understand. One of the seven habits of highly successful people, right? But for me, that experience of having my family pull my kids aside, like my friend's here's family did, and undermine my parenting, suggest to my children that I am a person that they should fear, that I, because I am bisexual, polyamorous, because of that, to have them make my kids think that they're not safe, is just out of, coming from a place of complete judgment, just because I'm bisexual, polyamorous, made me really realize that we even if we're related to someone, we should always be loving. We should always give people second chances. I certainly have hope and faith that my family members that I have taken a bit of a break from, will grow in time to better understandings of how to be loving, and to love me even though I'm different. But that doesn't necessarily mean that we need to, that it's a healthy choice to always expose ourselves to those people during those growth processes. If somebody in our life, regardless of whether or not we're biologically related to them, is being harmful and negative, as we go through these growth processes, we have to establish boundaries to protect ourselves and even the ones we love, including our children, if we have them. Maybe our other loved ones, you know, people that we are in relationship and friendships with. You know, it makes me think of the suicide rate amongst the LGBTQ, it's a lot of words, but it's a lot of concepts all at once. LGBTQ plus community. I don't say that enough. I need to practice it more. And a lot of that is the shame of their culture and their society surrounding them, including their family, making them feel ashamed for who they are naturally, making them feel like they have to repress themselves, sending them to conversion therapy to fix what's so sinful and wrong with them. Well, the problem is that's how the fuck we are. I was born this way. I was born gay. I was born bisexual. I was born polyamorous. And it was terrifying for me my whole life to be a black sheep and to just never feel like I fit in, to feel like I was broken, and to have to kind of stand up to my family in the past recent years and say, no, this is who I am and there's nothing wrong with me. Then have them reject me and go after my kids. It was probably one of the worst experiences of my life. And it's a big part of the reason why I'm doing this right now, because I don't really have anyone in my family, except for a few cousins on the outskirts. I don't really have anyone in my family that could tell me that it's okay to be myself, that could tell me without any reservations that I'm worthy of love just as I am, just as God made me, even though that's different. And if I can be that person, like other people that I'm not biologically related to have been for me, to tell me that it's okay to be different, to tell me that it's okay to embrace with confidence and love and be open about who you are. If I can face the world and take on these risks by being open and being that guardian and guide to others, I want with my whole heart to be able to do that. Sorry, I got all emotional right there, but it's a very real and raw thing for me. I mean, that's probably one of the biggest reasons I'm out here acting like a goofball twice a week, talking about whatever comes up, because I want to shift mainstream. I want to be a part, the small little part, Pollyanna part, using my own unique voice to shift these mainstream constraints that just beat us down and tear at us as we are just trying to embrace who we are. This delicate time of our lives, even as we're just considering, I want to absolutely support and promote and to further the message that it's okay to not be normal. What is normal? Let's redefine it. We're not going to all be robots following the same exact stream. I've lived my life like that. Fuck that. I was so unhappy for most of my life because I was trying to live this magic formula of what it meant to be a perfect blonde American girl. Yeah, you know? Of being a good daughter. This is what it means to be that. And it made me fucking miserable, depressed, hating life because I'm not normal. And there's some of us that are not that, you know, accepted thing of normal. I want to be part of one of the many voices out there. And I want you to be a part of it with me, of even if you have to kind of, you know, just like my friends, be under the shadows and contribute that way. And then I can be your voice for you. I want to be a part of that so that people are more accepting overall. It's going to take time. It's already happening. It's something happening slowly. But I want to take that on. And so thank you for congratulating me for that. And I appreciate that. I'm honored to do it. I'm honored to do it every day. And as I grow and you grow with me, it's such a blessing. And I hope to be at this for a very long time and have you right by my side. So thank you so, so much for letting me share that and for being a part of this with me. All right, guys, I'm going to start a little bit, end off a little bit lighter with a few more pieces that were left on the talking point list of Tuesday's shows on vaginas that I didn't get in there. So one of the things that I do is I keep a bag of peas in the freezer. You keep a bag of frozen peas in the freezer? That's weird, right? Well, it's not to eat. What I do is I keep it in like a Ziploc bag, and that's my vagina peas. So if I've had, like, if cycling class is one reason, it's not just like rough sex, but my vagina gets really sore if I've had sex for like a really long period of time, or I've had especially like, you know, aggressive, passionate experience, especially with power play, right? It can get sore down there. And I don't want to spend the next week or a few days with that. So to kind of bring that swelling down immediately, or even after a cycling class, because my vagina hurts so bad after a cycling class. I don't know if I'm the only one, but it feels like somebody like punched, like worse than rough sex. It's like so painful. So I break out my bag of peas. I like the peas because you can kind of break them up. And then I just like put them over my yoga pants, right over my vagine, my shazeze, and leave it there for about 30 minutes to an hour. Just kind of flipping it over to keep it cold. And that, I can't tell you, like more than anything else, that absolutely completely reduces the swelling. I feel fine almost immediately after. So that's one of my vagina tips. And if you have something like that too, please share it. And then also, I love satin silky underwear. I have a ton of it, you know, I have a ton of lingerie, but I do not, as fun as it is to think about me wearing it all the time, or it is for me to think about other ladies wearing it all the time, it's actually really, really bad idea to wear those things all the time because they're not very breathable. The lace can be irritating, and we want to, on the daily, keep good care of our vagines, get the airflow. Vaginas need air. Get that airflow into the vagina. It helps prevent gross yeast infections, ew, and then bacterial vaginosis, and helps, you know, you getting from sexy lingerie rash. A baby's good diaper rash, we can get sexy lingerie rash, right? That's a sensitive area. So doctors recommend wearing cotton underwear on the regular, and making sure that it's just your daily kind of everyday underwear is cotton. And there's some sexy options for that, for sure. Victoria's Secret Vicky's has some really good options for that, in like the classic Victoria's Secret section. And then going commando, actually this is doctor recommended to go commando regularly. So if you sleep naked like me, that's, you know, a regular routine of going commando. And then usually on the weekends too, and I'll let you read into that what you will. If I'm not wearing the lingerie, I'm usually going commando. And being sure to shower after working out and swimming. You want to shower as soon as you, after you work out as you can. So if you go to the gym, that's a great place. You don't want to sit in that sweat, because that can also lead to BV. There is a common issue that leads to. And then swimming too. You don't want those, chemicals from the pool, whether it's a saltwater pool or it's a regular chlorine pool. You don't want those sitting down there. So that's another doctor recommendation. I've got so doctory this week, so I wanted to kind of cut some of them out. So I'm just scooping them in here because I thought those were really great things to add. So if you have any more tips and on how to keep your vagina happy, you keep yours or the vagina in your life, send it my way and we'll include them on for future episodes. Thank you so much for everyone for contributing. Let me know about what you think about what we covered today, and I'd love to hear from you as always. So check out my website, sexplorationwithpo.wixsite.com/website. It'll be in the details of the show here. As always, be good to yourself and be good to others. Laters.
Mm-hmm. The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.